It's exactly 29 minutes after 4, and if you've just tuned in, it is Radio Veritas 576 AM on DSTV, it's 870, and from the internet, it's www.radioveritas.co.za. And the show is Changing Gear with myself, Father Brian, aka Ndabaningi. The time has gone exactly to 4:30, and again, it's good to be back. And that was Oleta Adam with Come Walk With Me. I think it's a Monday, hey, and we need inspirational songs. And Oleta Adam is saying to us, the Lord is saying to us, come walk with me. Isn't it amazing how sometimes we just think, you know what, I'm leaving this person, I'm leaving the Lord, and I'll try walk on my own. And guess what? We don't do it. Anyhow, I'm joined on the line by Anne Baker from the Catholic Institute of Education. Anne, good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Father Brian, and greetings to you and your listeners.
Thank you very much, Anne. And I'm speaking to you at a day where many parents in the country, especially those who've got children in primary school, are feeling very insecure at some point. They're feeling nervous, and some are very angry with what we've been reading and with what we've been seeing on our television screens of what's happening in our schools, where we have somebody that we trusted, somebody who we think should be trusted by our children, violating that trust. Now, what has been your response or your reaction to what has been going on?
Well, I think the case with 87 children is absolutely appalling.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was obviously known. The children would have talked to each other. They must have talked to someone. Now, we haven't got the details there yet.
Yes.
But I think there's a great avoidance by schools and perhaps even by parents of believing children when they tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a major issue. We have to teach adults to believe children first. Don't doubt them. Believe them first. And it's the school's job to keep them safe. I mean, there can be no other job than for a school to keep children safe.
Mm.
And I think it's an indictment on the teaching community of that school and any school that doesn't report.
Mm. Now, where do you think was the problem?
Well, I think the problem is that obviously that man was a very suspect person. How did he get a job with this, what they're calling them, what do they call them, patrollers?
Yeah.
They're not teachers. They're an adjunct person. They're a service person. How do they get a job, and who supervises them? Does the company that the department hires them from supervise them?
Mm-hmm.
And did they have a police clearance?
Yeah.
And or did they have anything? But, I mean, we have to teach everybody what their duties are with regard to knowing abuse.
But aren't those people screened for, say, offences? There might be offences which might not be sexual, but when we bring in adults into an environment where they are minors and infants, should we not be screening them first?
Well, the law requires that of independent schools.
Okay.
The law requires independent schools to screen their teachers and any of their staff.
Yeah.
But it doesn't require them of the public sector, because the public sector say they screen the teachers beforehand. But
oh,
this is not a teacher, so it opens up another issue.
Yeah.
Do support staff are they allowed to do what they like? Because this is not unusual. I mean, you can read even internationally what they call janitors in the States. They mm-hmm. have been accused of this. It's any adult that has thinks it's his right to do to children whatever they like.
Is that a definition of sexual abuse then, Anne?
No, sexual abuse, the definition is any adult or even old or child
mm-hmm.
that touches or interferes with a child sexually, mm-hmm. even and including telling sexual stories, showing pictures, sending messages on phones, those will all be regarded as sexual abuse.
So it's a wide definition then. It could be even a conversation. It could be showing images to youngsters.
Yes.
And apparently this person that we're talking about was fondling with the young girls. And
that is physical sexual abuse.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know, but anyone who knows of abuse is legally obliged to report it to the police.
Okay.
Sexual abuse.
Okay.
Not necessarily other types of abuse.
Okay.
Then you can report it to the police or a dedicated child protection organization or the Department of Social Development.
Mm.
But if it's sexual abuse, it's got to go to the police.
Now,
units set up again. They did away with them, but there are now units that are supposed to help with this. But I think what we got here is cover-up.
Yeah.
And we know all too well what cover-up does.
Mm.
It only creates a terrible disaster.
Indeed. Now, how can we move from that culture of covering up things to a culture of actually starting to say, hang on, my daughter has gone through this and something needs to be done about that? Because definitely all these 80-something students, I'm sure they'd reported this, but this was not actioned, I suppose.
Well, it appears that some teachers told them not to tell anyone. Now, that's even worse. I don't think in a school it can happen to 87 children without somebody knowing.
Indeed.
And the other thing is to teach children from very young that as soon as they're uncomfortable about something, they must tell a trusted adult.
Yeah.
Because most of the abuse, of course, happens within families.
Yeah.
You know, more happens within families than out of families, and that becomes an even bigger secret.
Mm.
So what we have to teach children is don't tell someone. Now, they often tell each other, and you'll have a child come and tell a teacher that so-and-so said this, but then the teacher tries to get it out of the other child. The child will say, no, they didn't say that. But
yeah.
It still has to be reported. The allegation has to be reported.
Yeah.
So, you know, it does help that the schools have got a social worker that they can refer to or somebody to help them. But it's not to be covered up. And I'm afraid that schools do cover up. They definitely do. They don't want to get into trouble, all sorts of things. They're not putting the child first or the young woman. Because it's not just children. Girls in high school are suffering terribly from the harassment of bad boys and other people, and even the teachers, of course, you know. I mean, there was another case today of a teacher in Limpopo that raped somebody on the way home from school on Friday afternoon.
I know.
He offered her a lift.
I know,
So it's more common than we know, and, of course, the shame prevents people from talking about it. So the more open we are, the more we take away the shame from the children, the better.
And especially when the victims usually feel that they are responsible for what has been inflicted upon them, and therefore they do not want to be sharing or to be talking about their story.
No,
that's true.
And there's another scary report that came out a few months back called the Optimist Report that shows that young boys are sexually assaulted or abused as much as girls.
Mm. It's true.
And that's quite frightening because the boys will say even less.
I know, because what we experienced here in Johannesburg and a few months ago at that school that I won't name is a clear indication of that, where we had that coach also playing around with the young men there. And so it was, when it was discovered, it was not only one person who had endured that. So clearly things were happening. But I think perhaps the lesson that we are getting out of this conversation is we need to raise our children to be able to be alert of these things and to report them immediately once they see them happening either to a friend or happening to them, so that they don't just keep quiet and act as things are going as normal and as usual.
Yes, but of course the adults are ultimately responsible.
Indeed, that's correct.
It is the adult's obligation to look after children.
But
where did this stuff take place that an adult didn't know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This is the point.
But as parents, how can we then sort of say, like, now people are shopping for schools? It's a bit too late for next year, but some people are still shopping for schools. How then, how do I ask the right question around security? And I'm not talking of the security that my daughter does not cross across the road, but I'm talking about security from things like that. What are the right questions to ask?
Well, the question is to ask the school, what is your supervision policy?
Okay.
How are the children watched at all times? I can tell you that 90% of our schools don't have that old-fashioned thing called playground duty,
yeah,
where teachers were on duty and watched them.
Yeah.
And many schools no longer have that. And
okay,
that is even known by the Department of Basic Education.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think it's their job. So you leave a whole lot of children alone.
Mm-hmm. But whose job is it?
What is the process?
Okay.
Because I can tell you, Gauteng have got a process for reporting.
Okay.
Because we have just redone our child safeguarding policy.
Okay.
You know, it was first done in 2012, has been reviewed,
mm-hmm,
at the moment. It's been through a whole lot of channels. At the moment, it's been sent to schools,
yeah,
and governing bodies to,
yes,
discuss.
Uh-huh.
But out of that, it comes that you must know the reporting.
Mm-hmm.
How do you report? And every child needs to know who the safe person in the school is.
Okay.
So that's important. The parent can say, who must my child go to if they're worried about something?
So
now, the chances are the school don't have that person. But if the parent asks that question, then they'll think. And if they ask the governing body, what are you doing about this?
Okay.
It would be even better.
So what you're actually saying to us, Anne, is that each school should have like a contact person for things of professional conduct, either for the teachers or,
yes,
for the students,
yes,
because this could be, sometimes it could be even an older student within the...
Not really, it should be an adult. But if you could have peer educators or peer mediators that children trust, and then that child would go straight to a teacher.
Yeah.
Because children disclose to each other far more than they disclose to an adult.
Indeed.
And you think about it, if an adult's harmed you, and if we get to the other types of abuse, which is hitting,
mm-hmm,
physical abuse,
mm-hmm,
there are many, many families that are busy beating their children. I was quite shocked to hear the other day of a teenage girl telling me she still gets beaten at home.
Oh, yes.
Now,
what
are we doing about that as church? We've got thousands of parents and thousands of children in our parishes.
Mm-hmm.
How are we teaching them? Because some parents think it's okay to beat their children.
But, and then the parents would say then, if you as church are going to take a stance, then you as church should take those kids into your premises and look after them. If they're going to be under my roof, then it's going to be my rules. Or you, church, look after these unruly kids yourself.
How about if church gives them a deeper understanding of how to bring up children?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, because all things are relational. I mean, this one child said to me, I really can't stand my mother and father for the way they've hit me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no love there. Other children will say things, oh, they're doing it for my own good.
Yeah.
I don't believe, you know, and I'm an old granny now, and I'd hardly ever touched my children, but I understand things better because I'm older. So how do we bring people to an understanding of communication,
yeah,
and listening?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, our children are getting more and more disconnected from their families and their schools. That's what's happening.
It's sad.
And the church.
Yeah, because do you know why? Because we've delegated the duty of parenting to the schools and sometimes even to youth groups. And so,
yes,
because as parents, mm-hmm, we are so busy. We are so busy with trying to make, mm-hmm, a living. And I can understand as parents because you want to juggle a job. You want to juggle being a spouse or a partner. You also want to juggle then the kids. And
mm-hmm,
and I don't think there is any successful formula of being a good parent.
No.
But I think it should
We have to have empathy for parents to get up very early in the morning to catch transport, to go all the way to work,
yeah,
you know, leaving younger children sometimes in the care of older children.
Mm.
It's not an easy life, but
yeah,
we mustn't just be critical. We must try and be supportive.
Mm, mm, mm. So what programs should we be looking at then?
Well, I think we need to continuously help help young people to talk about what is or isn't comfortable, even children,
mm-hmm.
that they are, no one has the right to touch them, mm-hmm. no one,
okay.
In a way that makes them uncomfortable. Obviously, if mommy or daddy are bathing you, that's different. But we have to, and the school's supposed to do this in its life skills work,
mm-hmm.
and in the Catholic schools, some of that is part of RE with the little ones about that you're special and you made, God made you, etc.
Yeah.
So we actually have to restore that. But I think we don't understand the pressures of today.
Mm.
I think that, you know, there was a recent conference in Rome.
Yeah.
The Jesuit Institute went to it on cyber, the dignity of the child in the cyber world.
Yes. Yes.
And Pope Francis even committed the church to caring deeply for the children and not tolerating abuse of any kind. But if on the run-up to that, I followed it closely.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody put the office that I've forgotten what it's called now. What's it, the Child Protection or something?
Yeah, commission.
Out of my head.
Yeah, the commission.
And they put on a video, a TED talk about a woman who is an expert in pornography.
Mm.
And what she said was, and this is very true, in the old days, maybe a child saw a magazine. It's, you know, something like that. Today, they've got phones, or their friends have got phones, or they've even got computers at home, and they can download or watch anything.
Indeed.
And the stuff they watch is getting more and more almost violent. So what do our young people think? The boys think this is the way it's done, and the girls think if I want to be loved, this is what I must do.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that as well. And in fact, it's a known thing that pornography increases the chances of someone abusing.
Yeah.
Because if you have that aberration,
yeah.
it will feed it. And so we have that as a big challenge. And we have the challenge that it teaches men and boys, and sometimes even girls, to think they're entitled to just have what they want from another person.
Wow. And we clearly have a long way to go as society and as communities. And I always say it starts in the home, it starts in families. And I hope our daddies and our mummies who are listening right now need to have those conversations with their daughters and sons to actually talk about the notion of boundaries and especially teaching their kids on what to not keep quiet on and what to actually report immediately.
Absolutely.
When it happens.
I think that we'll be rolling out the new policy next year to our own schools, so
right.
we'll be reinforcing the messages they've been getting,
mm-hmm.
And trying to assist, because let's be honest, this is a societal thing.
Yeah.
And
we're not immune from that. Yeah.
We know, we mustn't pretend that it doesn't happen in our schools.
We won't get there, but
Because there's, you know, we have to just be on the ball.
Mm.
Our teachers need to have their eyes and ears open.
Indeed.
And parents as well.
Yeah. And thank you very much for joining, and thank you very much for shedding light for us. And it's always a pleasure having you on the Afternoon Drive Time Show with you. And we wish you a happy, happy, happy Monday.
Thank you very much, Father Brian, and to all the listeners as well. Have a good evening.
That was Anne.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. That was Anne Becker from the Catholic Institute of Education. She is the Deputy Director, which brings us to exactly 12 minutes before the hour 5, and it is Changing Gear if you've just tuned in, and it is with myself, Father Brian, a.k.a. Ndabaningi, Mfundiswa Dumo, and it's good to be back. Do not...